Welcome to the American Foundation for the Blind inaugural Inform and Connect series. We at AFB create a life of no limits for people that are blind and vision impaired. This Inform and Connect series was created to bring camaraderie between the blind community and foster togetherness through informal storytelling in a very comfortable atmosphere. Our speaker today is going to talk about audio description and how it really can enhance the experience for blind users like myself through movies, TV shows, and a lot of other areas that we're going to explore. And I just can't be more proud to introduce Roy Samuelson, who has done over 500 films and shows. And he is also what I, more than anything to me, is just has the biggest heart and such a fierce advocate. And we're going to talk about inclusion, which is so important to both of us, to AFB, myself, and to Roy. So without further ado, please welcome Roy Samuelson.
Thanks for the great intro, Melody. Thank you for that. It's great to be here and to be able to join everyone from AFB.
I know. I'm so glad you're here. And it's so great, too, that you're such a dear friend. So I feel like we're just hanging out and having a good time together with a lot of fun people.
Yes.
We can get into our craziness together. So I'm really excited about that.
Virtual party.
Virtual party. So what I wanted to, Roy, is just talk about audio description. So can you just kind of give everybody a little bit of overview just to kick us off about what audio description is?
Sure. One of my favorite easy examples is the audio description is kind of like a radio announcer giving a play-by-play of a sports event. So what we do for movies and TV shows and series is give access to the visuals of what's happening on screen, usually in between lines of dialogue. So it's important plot elements, things that are happening on screen that you might not hear that are important to the story. Or maybe some other, you know, little brushstrokes of the nuance, kind of to allow our specifically blind and low vision audiences, but also for sighted people to experience a film or movie in a way that's a little more accessible.
So one of the things, Roy, you and I talked about before about audio description that I loved, you painted a really good picture of this. When you were talking about audio description, you were talking about the clips in a film and you're saying like, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Can you kind of describe it from there? Because I love the way you describe that.
Oh, that was a fun one. Yes. So
yes.
The old expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words. In 1 second of film, that's 24 frames. So that's 24,000 potential words in 1 second of film. I don't even want to do the math what a 90-minute film would be. So there's thousands and thousands of words potential to describe what's happening on screen. And I'm a narrator, so I'm a sighted narrator who reads a script that's provided to me. So it's these writers of audio description that really make these calculated decisions of what's the most important thing for an audience to be able to best access the visuals and still not step on the lines of dialogue so that we're not interrupting what's being said. And it's a really, really unique talent, these writers that are able to bring, I think, excellence and quality that's really, I think it's amazing. So that's the example that I like to share with the writers.
But thank you. So at that part, when do those writers come in the film series? Like, let's talk about a film maybe that you've done and when does that part come in?
Sure. And again, this is from my perspective. So different companies have different ways of doing things. But in general, usually a film or a TV show episode is complete. In other words, all the audio's done. They've, you know, sometimes they do little fixes at the end in post-production, whether that's visuals or audio. And then the movie's complete, essentially, except for the audio description track. And that is something that is created usually by a vendor, a very specific company that does this. So the distributor or the film production company hands off all these, you know, the full project, the full element with audio and visual, you know, the whole thing, and sends it to this company who then reviews the movie and watches it several times, whether or not a blind advisor is involved is at this point is, you know, some companies do that, some companies don't at that point. But basically what they're doing is making sure that all the visuals are included that are essential to the storyline. And then they write a script that specifically has time code In other words, a specific time within the movie where you have to have the narration, usually in between lines of dialogue or in between loud explosions if it's an action adventure.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't want you to be yelling over loud explosions. Timing is hell.
It doesn't work.
Well, that, speaking of that, so you segued in such a perfect spot there. So we talked about the narration speed and you're the writers that do that part, which to me is just an art form itself. But how do you then fit in as a narrator? What's your role in this?
Well, I'm given the script that was written by the writers, and again, there's different ways of doing it, but I'll give one example. I am watching the movie and listening to the movie while reading the audio description script. So I'm kind of joining you as an audience member on the journey. And if you can imagine watching a movie in a theater with a friend of yours next to you telling you what's happening on screen, it's kind of like what I'm doing. But where I try to bring the audience in is make sure that I'm not distracting them. In other words, my goal, I feel, and based on audience feedback, is that I need to allow the audience to best immerse themselves into the emotional journey of what's happening. In other words, if I'm distracting in any way from the audience's experience of the tone of a scene or the emotion or whatever, then that's going to take them out and kind of prevent them from fully experiencing it. And a great example, if something's happening on screen that's really warm-hearted, I'll put my hand on my chest above my heart and kind of feel what's feeling there. But I don't want to do it too much. So like on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 would be, she holds him in his arms. Yeah, that's going to take you out. Yeah, it's emotional, but it's too much. But also, I'm not going to be like a Siri voice or an Alexa voice and say, she holds him in his arms, just like conversational. So I think my responsibility is to find that sweet spot, that middle ground based on what's happening on screen, so that my goal is, if you've watched an audio description script and you didn't think about the narrator, you were thinking about all the story elements and the characters and the, oh, that was such a great moment when something happened. If you're not even talking about me, then I've served the project and I've done my job. If you're like, oh, Roy, he reminded me of my ex-boyfriend, he's annoying, or something like, oh my God, that narrator was so great, then I don't think that we've served the story, that we didn't do our job. So it's trying to find that sweet spot, I believe.
So basically what you're trying to do is, you know, to be able to provide that visual for people that can't necessarily see that visual in the way that doesn't overpower the storyline.
Oh, that's a great word. Yeah. I think finding that sweet spot, it's like somewhere between a synth voice and a couch quarterback. It's like somewhere in the middle there.
Nice. Well, I have heard your work and you do a very good job of that.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
So how is the conversation about audio description in the industry changing?
That's a great question, and it excites me to no end. You're going to have to stop me, because this is one of the things that I've noticed, especially in the last few years, is the conversation is changing from, does it have audio description or not, to some of the nuance that you and I are talking about, that the quality and excellence of all the different people that are involved in audio description is really being talked about. I think one of the more specific examples is that historically audio description describers, that's a general term. They were called audio description describer. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that they wrote it? Does that mean that they narrated it? Did they mix it? Did they direct it? That a describer historically would maybe do all of those roles. And now there's so many different companies that are recognizing the value of what this is, that they are starting to specialize. I've dabbled in writing before for audio description, but I'm not a pro. I'm very proud of the narration work I do, but it's a very specific segment of audio description. So our audiences are definitely speaking up and saying, you know what, there's so much quality television out there, so much quality movies, that we want that too. And the way that we get access to that is through the audio description track. And we want that on the release date. So when a sighted person gets it, we should be able to get it too. We want the quality to be of a certain standard that isn't something that was thrown together in a few hours. We want something that is professional. And my favorite part, Melody, this is where I get too excited, is that a lot of the streaming services, you know, there's an FCC mandate for broadcast television, for audio description, and that's very slowly growing to where it needs to be. You know, we'd love to have it at 100%, and it's getting there. But these streaming services aren't under that requirement. And so for some reason, these streaming services are opting in to provide audio description, which tells me it's not a mandate, it's an opportunity. And they're recognizing our, what, nearly 30 million blind and low vision Americans, let alone across the world, that this is a service that that's being recognized as the value that it's deserving. And that excites me to no end. I can talk for 4 hours, so you need to interrupt me.
No, you're doing a great job. I love it. No, this is good because we've talked about this so much. But what I love, like what you're saying is we're looking at the whole person too, which I like about it. Because we, you know, like how we've talked about how AFB, you know, our mission is creating a life of no limits. And this is a whole person. And I love how the entertainment industry and what you're talking about is really looking at the whole person, because, you know, you've worked all day or you're at home or we're in our situation that we are where we're social distancing. It would be nice just to be able to watch a movie and have conversations about it. Like, it's so nice for me to be able to say, oh my gosh, did you see that? And, you know, be involved, even just normal conversations with your friends, and and what your craft and your art that you're doing and you're so passionate about gives that to people. And that's a gift.
And the cool thing is there's a lot of narrators and a lot of writers and a lot of vendors that are recognizing that, I think you used the word connection, that it is with those no limits, you know, if there's a popular TV show or movie that people are talking about, you know, our audiences deserve that, to be a part of that conversation as much as anybody. And it is being recognized for that. So I'm amplifying exactly what you're saying, that when it comes to no limits, one of the limits that's being removed is that connection that we have, that audio description is filling a gap between the entertainment industry and our blind and low vision audiences in a way that it's going to continue to grow.
That is awesome. I really love it. So there's two, like, and before, because I want to make sure we're careful of everyone's time, but there's two things I really want to get into before we get into questions. And one of the questions I have for you is, when you specifically are doing work, do you include people that are blind or vision impaired in on your production? Which I already know this, but I'm going to let you take it.
That's a great question. One of the things that's most important to me, I'm a sighted narrator, as I said, and it's not my place to speak for people. I want to amplify people's voices. And so one of the things I'm learning specifically on social media is nothing about us without us. And I'm not sure when I first heard of it a few years ago, but it really caught my attention. And so when I do have a choice and I do have an opportunity to bring a blind or low vision expert guide along with the audio description, I make sure that they're included, whether it's if I do have an opportunity to produce something with audio description, or even in my own advocacy of teaching other voiceover talents what audio description narration is, there's a real sense, an obligation on my part, a joyful obligation, to make sure that there's a blind or low vision advisor that's included in that class, that's making sure that they are contributing to our narrators in a very clear and very specific way. And that's non-negotiable.
That's awesome. And what do you find in that inclusion, having someone who is blind or vision impaired in with you while you're in production work or teaching narrators? How do you find that helps? What do you see there?
Well, it's a really selfish thing on my part because the contributions are from a perspective that are from our blind and low vision audiences that know what they want, and they're telling us what they want. This isn't a sighted person putting on a blindfold for a movie. It's a very specific experience that sighted people can't replicate. So we need your voices, your, you know, blind, low vision audiences who have experienced what works and what doesn't. On one particular project that I was working on, the script was written by a pro, and we had an engineer who's done thousands of projects. And during the recording session, we had the advisors on our call, and every single one of them contributed very specific necessary notes that elevated the quality of the audio description in ways that a sighted expert could never do. And so this isn't a token, oh, let's bring a blind person on board. It's a legitimate need for making sure that we do provide the quality and excellence that, that our audiences deserve.
That is awesome. And what does, how does that make it, what does inclusive design mean to you? Because we talk a lot about this, about, you know, building a life of no limits and also having that inclusion. And I know that's something that you are super passionate about. And I, if you could talk to us a little about why you're so passionate about that and how it's changed you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So it's, the first thing that comes to mind is I'm still learning. I'm making mistakes. And thankfully, our audience is helping guide me and educate me and show me the way. But I'm also doing research. It's not, I want to make sure it's not anyone's obligation to teach me. It's my responsibility to make sure that I'm learning what works best. And that's got to be part of my job, whether as a narrator or any other role. So inclusion to me is making sure that I'm listening to our blind and low vision audiences and what they want. It's, the benefits to me are, obviously, I get really excited about it, in case you haven't noticed. But professionally, it's guiding my narration. Since I started engaging with our audiences, my delivery of audio description has changed, I believe, for the better, because I'm listening to what works and what doesn't work. Now, not everybody's going to agree. There's definite nuance that, you know, in the same way that you might have a favorite actor who's doing one project and you love her in it, but you find that another project that she's involved in, it doesn't work as well. Or you might have a favorite narrator that no matter what she does, she's nailing it as an audio description narrator, and you're going to seek her out, and like, whatever she does, I'm in. I love it. So there's a lot of, again, back to my engagement with our audiences, it's serving my ability to provide the best work that I can. And like I said, I'm not at the level, I'm like, right now I'm better than what I was yesterday, and I'm going to be better tomorrow because I'm listening and making sure that I engage and find out what our audiences want.
That is awesome. That is really, thank you so much for that. And I want to be able to, is, can you tell us how we access audio description?
Yes. I love this part. Okay. Melody, this is great.
I just love how you love every part of what you do, which is amazing, but.
Okay. Oh, good. So there's a bunch of different ways to access it. If you have a what I'm calling a regular TV, a not smart TV, there's a way to access the SAP channel, the secondary audio program channel, and that's specifically for broadcast television. There's on streaming services, there is, once you start playing a video, it's pretty standard that there's a setting in the same place where you turn on closed captioning. You can also turn on different languages as well as audio description. So that's usually under the audio section. One of the great resources that I like to refer people to is the Audio Description Project, which not only lists the over 4,000 original projects, 4,000 just last month, but also, nice. Right? And then it also says, okay, if you've got Xfinity, here's how you turn it on. If you've got Netflix, here's how you turn it on. If you've got an iPhone with Netflix, here's how you turn it on. Apple TV Plus, the new streaming services, if you haven't turned it on, I believe it's free currently just because of the pandemic. There, if it's a fee, I'm not sure what it is per month, but they launched with 9 different languages of audio description. So that's not just dubbing. That's audio description in 9 different languages for all their productions. It's fascinating. Disney Plus launched pretty much all of their content with audio description. Amazon and Netflix are also, as well as Hulu, are all providing original content. It's really great to see all this. So to answer your question, I'm sorry, I got excited again. To go to the Audio Description Project, there's a lot of different places that will show you how to turn it on and also how to turn it off.
That is awesome. Yes. And I love those resources, and we're going to be able to provide those resources to you guys too, but at the end of this, and I really want to be mindful for 20. I want to be able to, for people to have questions, but wait, thank you so much for that. This seemed like 2 minutes, but every time we chat, it seems like just 2 minutes.
That's how it goes. Sure.
But no, this has been really, really great. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. And I just want to give a shout out to everybody who has joined us today. And we thank you so much. I speak for AFB, you know, we really, you know, thank you so much. And I think we need to live off with these people to give them a challenge, don't you, Roy?
A challenge, Melody?
A challenge.
Mm-hmm. Huh. What kind of challenge are you talking about?
I'm thinking that we need to have, if they've not been, if we have people that can see and are not familiar with audio description, that they also check out that and check it out themselves and see how they like watching a show. What do you think?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. How about that? Huh.
It's a good one, right?
It's a really good one. So like specifically, I don't know, I'm thinking about Audio Description Awareness Day that came out maybe a week or two ago, that there was that was the launch of a similar challenge.
Yes. 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 Huh. Yes. So is there a hashtag for that maybe we could use?
I think Steph McCoy and Juan Alcazar on Twitter, as well as some other people, are created the hashtag ADAD Challenge, which is short for Audio Description Awareness Day Challenge.
Yes, that was on the 16th of April. I think it's a good one.
Huh. Okay. There we go.
So we're going to have
Oh my God, there's so much subtext here.
Thank you, Roy, so much for being with us today. We can't thank you enough. And again, this is our first series. We can't wait to see you next week for our second. And we are better together by creating a life with no limits for people that are blind and vision impaired, no matter our situation. Thank you all so much for joining us. Take care.